Hello again, Gooners. I don't sound very cheerful, do I? And the reason is, why would I be cheerful? Arsenal lost two games back-to-back. First Palace, then Brighton. You don't need me to tell you about the narrative. The only thing to be cheerful about is if he turns up, we may well hear from Fizzy. That's about the only cheerful thing I've got to talk about today. But before he gets here, I can tell you what's coming up, which is rare, right? Because how often do I do that? As in, never. Well, things to talk about today, well, obviously, you mentioned two dismal performances. There's also the form of players that have left the club. It's normally the case that when players leave Arsenal, they tend to not do very well. That's what we've noted in the past, but all that seems to have changed. So Guendouzi was called up for France the other day. I never can say this guy's name right. When will I ever learn? Uber. Oh, there you are. I can see Fizzy's out there somewhere.
He's out there somewhere.
Yes, and the echo says you're here. But I was just going to go through the intro, but I'll skip that because people that can read can see it for themselves. You know, the two dismal performances. I don't even know where to start. Where would you like to start, Alex?
I think it's two different performances.
That's true.
So I think we played against two different teams. Now, I think we might as well start at the beginning. It's always a good place to start, isn't it? I think if you look at Palace are no mugs, right? You know, Vieira's done well there. You know, they beat City, or they made City drop points at the very least. Especially at home, you know, and, you know, watching the game, they wanted it. They were up for the they were at the races, and we weren't at the races. I got the feeling watching it was kind of like, well, we're due a bad performance, because if you think, you know, we played well since, certainly I think since Uber left, and I know we'll talk about him later, but you know, we were due a bad performance. Yeah, we got the youngest team in the league. Palace just seemed up for it. And that was it. And I think it was exacerbated by, you know, that Conor Gallagher who played for Chelsea was everywhere. And a lot of big players had bad games. So Odegaard, Partey, Gabriel, Tavares, you know, but certainly the first three that I mentioned had stinkers. And when Partey and Odegaard don't play well, then, you know, we're in trouble. And we were, okay? And we rightly lost. And I know in the second half, he changed it about and we played better, but I think it was too little too late by then. And so that was that. And you go, well, okay, you know, we have bad games. You know, it's going to happen. You know, like I said, youngest team. And then Brighton, I think Arteta has to take responsibility for both, because obviously he is the manager. But I think, for me, he has to take more responsibility for the Brighton game, because I think, you know, how we set up against Brighton, what was shocking. And I think for me, his man management of Tavares is really poor. And now I think, you know, he came out in the press a couple of days before saying, yeah, I've put my arm around him, I looked after him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he doesn't play him. And he plays Xhaka in the position where we know he can't play that well. And bad enough, to make it worse, was we didn't have Partey. So our midfield consisted of, what's it called? Sambi, Lokonga, who I thought played all right. You can't fault him. But he hasn't played that much. You know, he hasn't played that much. He's rusty. And you left him on his own. And then you drag Odegaard back into the midfield as well. And you have a double pivot. And Odegaard can't play really. You know, Odegaard might be able to play there with Partey or Xhaka. But he can't play there with the Kong. And I just thought, you know, it was just all the wrong decisions were made. And I think, you know, he then realised he fucked up. Put Martin, you know, put Xhaka in the midfield. Put Martinelli at wing back. And, you know, and then we got one back, didn't we? But by then, again, too little, too late, really. And I didn't even think in the second half we were better, but we still weren't great. And yeah, it was maddening. Honestly, it was maddening. And I now am of the opinion that, yeah, I think we'll struggle to get, I don't think we'll get fourth, just because I think the injuries have hit us harder. I think Tierney and Partey's injury, like Tierney's out for the season, Partey's out for a few games. And, you know, what does he do at left back? And I think the other big issue, and I know we're going to talk about this in a bit, is Lacazette. He was awful in both of those games. So, you know, it's funny how quickly things change.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, really.
Going back to the Palace game, it reminded me of, I don't remember the exact result, but it was a defeat, when Theo Walcott came out after the game and said, we weren't really up for it. And then he got basically kicked out of the first team squad because he said that. It was true, but yeah. Wenger was the manager at the time, if I'm not mistaken, and he just didn't want to hear that. Not in public. I can see Wenger's point of view as well, but again, it was, that game was horrific to watch. Absolutely horrific. The Brighton game, not so much, but both were horrific in their various different ways. But, you know, the Palace game.
Deserved nothing from both games. Honestly, I thought we deserved nothing from both games.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even though, of course, there was the incident, the massive incident in the Brighton game. You could see, I mean, what do you think about that? The 4 minutes elapsed before they made a decision on VAR. That's totally ludicrous. That's not what VAR was brought in to do. Slow the game down and make. It wasn't obvious, was it? It wasn't obviously wrong, the decision to award the goal. So it just seemed. I'm not really one to buy into conspiracy theories. Certainly not against Arsenal, but on this occasion, I had to say, those that said the powers that be are against Arsenal seem to have a point. I mean, how could they rule that out when it wasn't clearly offside? It could have been. I can't say it definitely wasn't, but I can't say it definitely was. Watching it over and over, I think the guy, one of the guys from the one of our so-called rival podcasts, said, give me the line. Where was the line? Did you see a line during this process of deciding whether it was a goal or not? I didn't see a line.
A few days afterwards. But I think it's impossible. And you're right. And I think the key word there is clear and obvious. It was not clear and obvious. So you have to give it, you know, you have to go with the decision that was given on the pitch. Like I said, you wasted 4 minutes. Would the game have changed if we'd gone in at 1-1? Probably. With the tactical change that he made, maybe we'd have stolen something. It is unfortunate. Don't get me wrong. And I thought, you know, it's wrong. Absolutely, it's wrong. I think, though, I don't want to use it as an excuse to cover how bad we were. But yes, absolutely, it's poor officiating yet again. I think Arsenal would have had a penalty against Palace. How Xhaka didn't get a penalty is beyond me. But we're used to these decisions now, aren't we? We're used to Arsenal not really getting the rub of the green, especially with VAR. It seems to let us down when we need it. So, it's been a very brought back to earth. And I think a little bit of realism is needed. So, you know, we need to be a bit more realistic. The club always said, you know, we look at the squad, we look how small it is. And the club always said at the beginning of the season, Europe is our target. And I think we're still on for Europe. I think it's going to be difficult now. I think United, thankfully United are in disarray as well. It's a very big month now. And I don't think we'll get top four. I have to say, I think we should get fifth or sixth. Just because I don't think the teams around us are in particularly great form. I don't think West Ham are in amazing form. I don't, you know, United are absolutely appalling at the minute. So it's on Arteta now. And, you know, you think about these things. Well, we've got the youngest manager and, you know, or one of the youngest managers, the youngest team. You know, these sorts of results are going to happen. So for me, my stance on it is this. If we can get Europe this year, I think that's, you know, we should expect that. And then next season, he'll have the summer to sort of right a few of the wrongs and then Champions League. If he doesn't get Champions League at the end of next year, I think he should go. That's where I think we are. I think he'll have had enough time. And I think he is creating something good. And if we got Europe this year, Europe this year is what we should be aiming for. I don't mean that fucking terrible conference trophy or whatever it's called. Europa League.
Yeah, and a lot could depend on Palace, because if Palace win the FA Cup, I can't quite see that happening. But say they did, say they did. I'm just looking at some of the comments coming in, because actually got somebody in the studio. Have you seen some of the comments?
No, I never
really. Right. Yeah, you're probably best off on the last one. But you've got to see the funny side of it now, but I wasn't seeing the funny side of it at the time. I totally lost the gist of what I was saying there. So what were we talking about again? The situation with the whatever it's called, the sort of lower class European competition that Arsenal might end up playing in, conference.
Yeah.
A lot of people sort of poo-pooed that idea last season and said it's a good job that Arsenal didn't make that competition. But the thing is, if they did, there would have been more squad rotation, because half of the issues, according to, this is not particularly according to me, but according to other people out there on the internet, they're saying half of the issue is the lack of squad rotation. And had Arsenal been in Europe or some other cup competition for any serious length of time, there would have had to been more squad rotation. Because what's happening now is Arteta's bringing these players in from the cold, Lokonga, he's hardly played any games. Tavares been treated pretty abysmally, I have to say. I'm a fan of Arteta, but not a massive fan of what he's done to Nuno. I think Nuno deserved better, really. I would have liked him to have played. So there's those two players, and luckily some of the older pros come in and seem to handle it better. The guy at right back who came in, he's been all right. I've always thought he's okay. He's quite a decent player. Obviously, it's not the same level as the Japanese international, but he's quite solid. And I've noticed, from my perspective at least, the other teams are not really targeting Arsenal's right. They don't really want to attack down that side. They will, but that's not their plan, is it? They're going to attack down Arsenal's left, because without Tierney, I think with Tierney, sometimes there are gaps there, but there's just been gaps everywhere. I mean, the way Brighton were running straight through the middle, and that guy, the Belgian guy, had scored. No one was near him. No one was even near him. I was just couldn't believe it. It was clearly
on his own. He wasn't on his own. You're right. How the lack of rotation has caused these players to be coming in from cold. Absolutely spot on. And then, he puts Odegaard with him. Odegaard's not, a defensive-minded player, and there is a lot of defensive work needed in that position. It was. It was so poor. A lot of the Brighton performance has to be on Arteta. I agree completely. He has treated the Conga terribly. And, we talked about this much earlier in the season with how he treated Bellerin. Like, he has got poor man management skills sometimes. I see your point. If we'd been in Europe, we would have had... And I think this is what will happen this year, is we will have to beef up the squad. Undoubtedly, we'll get another 5-6 players in. So whatever European competition we're in, we will beef up the squad, because we can't survive on 17 players. So I think, we have to, really.
He made some comment, which I haven't read properly. Arteta made some comment, I think I saw it not very long ago, where he's basically saying, squad's always been small, but it's... I don't recall it being that small. And obviously, when you're getting rid of players like, as in what happened over January, to not replace them, I mean, looking back on it now, I see it as asset stripping, even though at the time I wasn't against... I mean, I was against the idea of not bringing anybody in at all. I thought that was madness. But really, it's just... it was probably good for squad morale. There's been a massive argument between Piers Morgan and Lee Dixon about that. Did you know about Ogle?
Yeah, I can't
say
that. Here's my thought on it, right? Yeah. With do you want to? In that January transfer window, you don't always get what you want. Yeah, you always and we have bought some absolute shockers in that January transfer window. Pablo Mari, Kim Kallstrom with the broken back, Suarez. And if it's just a case of getting in bodies, then we can't moan at Arsenal for not wasting money. Do you know what I mean? So you can either go, well, we should spend money and get in bodies, and then we're stuck with these shit players for years. If we can't get a loan, like we tried to get that Melo in on a loan for 6 months. They wanted 18 months. We said no. So if we can't get these players in short term because we don't want to get screwed over again, then it's better not to waste the money and keep our powder dry. Short term, that puts us in a precarious situation. But I think, and it was a risk, but I think it was always the case of, we've certainly improved this summer or this season. And in the summer, we will spend money and get more players in. And I think, do you want to get players in that don't fit what Arteta wants, don't fit the ideal, take a lot of money up just so we've got players in for now that probably won't make much of a difference? Okay, you look at even that Vlahovic isn't in a great amount of form for Juve, and he would have been a player that I would have had in. But, we need to stay strong and not spend our money unnecessarily. So that's why cement your point, you said that, getting rid of Uber was good for morale. Absolutely. Absolutely, it was good for morale. And I think, it needs to be done because he wasn't, his wages are off the bill and he wasn't. Piers Morgan, right? Fucking Piers Morgan. I can't stand him. He's a horrible human being, right? Remember, this is a guy that printed pictures of British soldiers torturing Iraqi POWs. And then they then got turned out to be fake. So he printed these fake pictures of British soldiers. This guy will sell his grandmother for money, right? He's a horrible Arsenal fan. He's entitled to his opinion, yes, but he's a shock journalist at best. Like, he failed in America. And, his opinion on Arsenal isn't worth much. And the fact that, Dixon went, and Dixon said what everyone else has been saying, Uber wasn't fitting. He was out of form for a year and a half. He hasn't been doing the business, and he was a bad role model, bad attitude. He didn't fit. The fact that Uber has said to himself, like, leave it alone, and Piers Morgan is still banging this drum, just goes to show what a fucking toxic human being he is. And he's an embarrassment to Arsenal. I can't stand the man. So with Uber, fair play. He's doing well at Barca. Good for him. But it won't last. Right? Xavi will get rid and buy someone younger and better as soon as he possibly can. And he's in a weaker league. He's playing against fucking pub teams. So and what frustrates me the most about this whole argument is he wasn't doing it for Arsenal. He wasn't scoring for Arsenal. He's missing gilt-edged chances, out of form. He was a bad role model. And it's just like, I wish we had him back. Why? Like, I know Lacazette has been fucking dreadful. And he has, right? No, I'm not even going to argue that point. He has been awful. And in the last couple of games, his link-up play, and the only thing that he can bring to the table, because he runs like CeeLo Green, is his link-up play, and that's been shit, right? That's been non-existent. So he needs to be dropped. He should have been dropped against Brighton, all right? He had a stinker against Palace. He wasn't the only one. That's when you make the change. I would have put Martinelli up top. That seems like the obvious thing. Give it a go. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least you're saying to Laka, be fucking better, because at the minute you're not hitting the standards, right?
I think he's putting the effort in. I'm sure he's putting the effort in. It's just that shot his bolt, as it were.
Yeah,
he just hasn't got any more fuel in his tank. He's just been running himself ragged. To get back in the team, because he was out of the team for quite a while. And to get back in the team, he had to run, he had to graft, and he's done all of those things, and he did lift morale. I mean, he's not at the moment because he's just knackered. I feel sorry for him, actually. I think I still like him. I'm not sure I'd give him a new contract based on, and you know, I love Lacka, right? But I'm not sure I'd give him a new contract based on recent performances. But at the same time, he's ploughing a lone furrow by himself up front, more or less. And he, so, you know, it's a tough gig, as it were. Absolutely. And then when you start looking at the replacements, the only issue I've got is none of them have really cracked it. I don't, they haven't had an extended run trying to crack it.
Yeah. Like Eddie. Even Nketiah hasn't. And I don't rate Nketiah that particularly highly. But Nketiah hasn't had an extended run. None of them have because he doesn't rotate the squad.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
Brighton was the opportunity to go, right, you know, have a few games rest, you know. Because this let, like, for example, you know, and he didn't. And that's why I'm frustrated with him. And I hope to God he learns his fucking lesson, but I don't think he will. Certainly not this season. I think we're going to have to add to the shopping list, two new fucking left backs. Because I don't think you can rely on Tierney now. You know, because he's injured all the time. And do you know what I mean?
Tavares might not ever get the best out of Tavares again. You know, wanted to call your attention to something. You know when the disallowed goal, well, at the point when the goal wasn't disallowed, Martinelli went over to Tavares, not just Tavares, but I'm not saying there's any significance in this. Maybe you can put your take on it. But he didn't go and jump, you know, start hugging Arteta. He went to other members of the staff, and he hugged Nuno Tavares. Now, I'm not saying there was anything in that, but I found that really strange, you know, because Arteta was the guy that was closest to the touchline. So normally most players go to the manager first. They don't go to the backup team.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not sure if to read anything into that or not, but the reason why I'm reading something into it, or maybe reading something into it, is because the lackluster performances, particularly the last one, you could see from the start that Arsenal didn't seem like they wanted it. And now I'm not sure what to put that down to. It's either they don't, I don't want to think they don't want to play for the manager, because why would it happen all of a sudden? I just felt like something's happened behind the scenes that we don't know about. And I've got no idea what it is that has brought morale from where it was to where it is now. And I just can't understand it.
Aren't they? They're going to have to sort of pull their fingers up, because it's like they want to play for the club. Because I don't think Arteta's going anywhere. If you've seen anything over the last 18 months, the club will stick with him. I think they might. I think he's, like I said, I think he's got another year. I think, and you know, and as well, you know, we've only lost four times this calendar year. Two of them are to Liverpool and Man City. So this is, you know, I don't think, you know, you look at. And this is what pisses me off. The media has been blowing this out of proportion. In my opinion, it's been blowing this out of proportion. Yes, we were bad, right? But we've got, like I said, we've got the youngest team, and I think that's a factor, right? Where's the media slagging off, you know, when Chelsea lost 4-1 at Brentford? Or, you know, when Spurs have lost? You don't get the same thing. So I don't think it's as dramatic as it is. I do think, you know, we need to see a performance against Southampton. If we lose against Southampton, then I think, you know, we can say goodbye to top four. And I think maybe it is perhaps because of the squad being so small. But Arteta has to take responsibility for that. But he also has to take responsibility for the Tavares, how he's managed that situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's, you know, and that's what has frustrated me more out of anything. Yeah, we've played poor. You know, you don't always play well. There are games you don't always play well. Sometimes you play badly. That happens.
The issue for me, though, was within, to be honest, I know it's easy to be wise after the event, but within the first 2 to 3 minutes, I thought, this is not going to go well. And I thought it about both games. And the reason why was the lack of energy. I'm not saying it's a lack of effort, but there was a lack of energy throughout the whole entire team. There wasn't one player that was busting a gut to get from A to B, because they, I don't know where their heads were at. I don't know if it's psychological or physical or both, you know, because another thing that crossed my mind is, you know, we always used to make fun of Spurs for choking, you know, that sort of psychological term, you know, when they all sort of, you know, a lot of professional sportsmen, they get to that high pressure situation And because they've not been there before, they're likely to choke or, as somebody said, you know, they lose their bottle, call it what you will. They lose it. They just suddenly don't believe in themselves for whatever reason. And again, that would come back to the management. I would have thought they'd have sort of sports psychologists to nail it so that the players never get in that position. But there's something dramatically wrong. I just felt it before the results, just the opening minutes. I just thought, this is not the Arsenal I have seen in the previous games. Like the Liverpool defeat, that was a different Arsenal. That was a good Arsenal effort. The effort was there, and the zip and the buzz was there. The way they were playing was all there, and except the result. And then obviously Villa, that wasn't a great performance, but it, you know, I think Arsenal deserved 3 points just about. Yeah, so that wasn't great. So maybe the writing was on the wall there. Maybe it's just tiredness. I don't know. What do you think it is? Do you think it's physical, mental, or both?
Well, I don't think we should look into it too much. Like, I think, you know, teams lose, you know, over the course of a season. They played well. I thought against Villa, they played fine. They're not always going to perform to the best of their ability every game, are they? Sometimes you ride your luck, sometimes, you know, and sometimes you don't get the luck. Like, you could say that you didn't get the luck in that decision. Of course, I do think that if we'd got that goal, yeah, with the tactical change, we possibly would have snuck. I don't think they would have scored a second goal, definitely. It's very fine margins in you know, elite sports, isn't it? You know, it's very, very small thing. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, he made a mistake. His big mistakes were taking Xhaka out of the midfield, not playing Tavares, and continuing with Lacazette. And for me, yeah, that's where I think he went wrong. The players have got no excuse about being tired because they're not playing huge amounts of games. Like Liverpool and Man City are playing 3 games every week. Do you know what I mean? Like 2 games a week. We don't really have much, and they will now for the rest of the season. Yeah, if they want to be successful, and the best players want to be successful, the best players want to play those amounts of games every week because they want to win trophies. And if Arsenal players want to win trophies, then they have to play these amount of games. So I'm not buying too much into they're tired. I think poor motivation. I think maybe the Arteta didn't get his ideas across and the training ground perhaps enough. It's a number of things. I think youth is a factor. You know, you look at Spurs, and much as it pains me to say, their best players are coming to the fore right now. So Harry Kane's son are playing their best football at the moment. But that's experience, isn't it? That's experience. And that's what we don't have. We don't have experience. A lot of these players haven't seen the season.
That's why back in the day, somebody said, who was it? Was it Hansen said, can't win championships with kids. And then obviously Manu managed to do it anyway. But the thing is, when you've got a team full of kids, well, I mean, they're not quite kids, but you know, very, very young team. You will have blips. You will have ups and downs. But the thing that when I've seen young teams before that have had their ups and downs, the difference is they had a certain amount of energy. So even when they mess up, they mess up with energy. But this team, I'm only talking about the last 2 games, maybe Villa a little bit. The last couple of games, they're just messing up without the energy. So they give a bad ball away and they don't even chase back. I can't remember. I was trying to see who it was, but there was somebody who didn't even chase back. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't remember that from the Villa game, I have to say.
I just thought it was lackluster. I thought Villa was lackluster. It's interesting you say that about Villa. So I'm not saying I called it right, but I just thought it wasn't a great performance. I was watching it with a Villa fan and he said, oh, you were much better than us. So... It was good to hear that. I was really pleased, but that's not how I viewed that game. I thought a draw would have probably been...
I thought the first half we bossed it, didn't score enough goals. And if we had scored enough goals, we would have been out of sight. That's how I saw that game going. I don't know how your Villa mate saw it, but that's how I saw it going. But
but you know, that's what he said. He said, no, Arsenal are a better team than Villa. Simple as that.
You see on Twitter, all these... Arteta needs to go. We're the most fickle, you know, fan base, every time we lose, get rid of Arteta. Get him out. Get him out. This man shouldn't be at my club. And you think about, you know, we're in the top four. We're still in the hunt for top four. You know, I don't think we'll get it because I think we'll continue to play poorly. But, you know, you look at the beginning, mid-April, we're still in the hunt for top four. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, for me, it's not as bad as it seems. I think we won't get it. I do. But, you know, if we get a couple of results, you know, let's be honest. If we somehow beat Southampton, who aren't in great form at the minute.
They got smashed by Chelsea, didn't they? Yeah. That in itself worries me as well. Because, you know, when a team gets smashed, normally...
Yeah, you say that, I know. But if they got beat that badly, then there's a reason why they got beat that badly, isn't it? Because they're not that good. You know, so it's like, I know what you mean. And they'll have to put on a performance, and maybe they will put on a performance, but maybe they won't as well. You know, like...
Yeah, it's just, you know, you say that, but every time, not every time, but a lot of times, when I look at sort of trends, I'm not talking about particularly Arsenal, more or less any team, when they let in five goals, yeah, every now and then they'll let in a load more goals in the next game, but generally they'll shut up shop and they'll make sure defensively they're pretty sound. So I think it's going to be quite tight.
They won't attack, which is good for Arsenal.
Yeah, that's actually true. Arsenal will probably get a load of possession down there. And Arsenal's record at Southampton,
Arteta's got problems that he needs to fix. The big problem, the left back situation. What's he going to do there? You know, an option is Arteta put Saka there. I don't want to see that. He has to stick with Tavares. Why buy a player and not play him? It's frustrating. So you know, for me, it's a simple. You know, you have to stick with Tavares at least one more game. Like, you can't bring a player out from the cold. Don't play him. And then when he has a stinker of a performance, you hoik him off after X amount of time, which maybe on hindsight was the best thing to do. But yeah, you've got to manage that player, and he hasn't.
I didn't have a problem with him subbing him at half time, or even the Forest game I didn't see, so I can't comment on that. But I didn't think it was that bad. And I honestly thought he brought him off at half time. He said for tactical reasons, and I sort of believed it, but I think it was also to do with the fact that he's less experienced than the other players, and he's sort of gambling on the experienced players to produce goods rather than some rookie left-back who's got a lot of talent. We know that. And then, but the thing is, Tavares might not know that because he's not been told it enough, perhaps. We don't know, but he just seems short of confidence. He's a decent player, but I just think... I mean, me personally, I don't know what you would do, but you're going to hate me for saying this, but somebody else said it as well. I would have considered bringing Elneny in the midfield and then keep Tavares and play a different system, but I don't think he's going to do that. Have Elneny, because there's no protection for, you know, everybody's started slagging, even on the sort of pro Arteta podcast, they're all slagging off Ben White, they're all slagging off
Gabriel. I think when you play with a system, then by moving even one player around, it fucks up it's the dynamics, isn't it? And so put Elneny in, keep Xhaka at left back.
No, I would bring Xhaka into midfield. The way I was thinking of it was play a different number of midfielders. So I mean, I didn't think the whole thing through, but I just thought, stick with what we got, but let the fullbacks attack more by bringing in an extra midfielder like Elneny, who just tidies up. He's not going to do anything flash. Probably won't make any major mistakes. Just to give them a bit more confidence, because the way they're playing at the moment, it's just too open.
Nuno
when he goes forward. He can't go forward. Well, he can, but then Shaka's got a cover for him if he goes forward.
You can play a double pivot. We can't play 4-3-3 because neither of our players, the Conga or Xhaka or anyone in that squad, apart from Partey, can play a six. So you can't play 4-3-3 with the two more attacking midfielders. So you have to play a double pivot. So if you're saying, you don't want three defensive midfielders. I don't want to see Elneny, Xhaka and Lokonga in midfield. Maybe take Lokonga out. I wouldn't, but I can. Yeah. You can't play
But some people say Lokonga's not really that defensive. I'm not sure how defensive he is. I mean, he can be defensive, but I'm not sure. Because we haven't really seen it. He's not attacking in the sort of Odegaard sense of the word. No, he isn't.
No, he's a six. He's just not very good at it. Arsenal Arsenal coaches think that he will be a six. He will actually play the role that Partey plays currently. That's what they're hoping for him in the long term. Lokonga is not attacking in any sense of the word. So I wouldn't do that.
What would be your solution? Because I think both of us seem to want Nuno back in the team. I certainly want him back, but only under certain circumstances. If he's protected, he needs some sort of protection.
I think they need the formation as it is. But I'd have Smith Rowe on the left. And I think Smith Rowe tracks back a bit more than Martinelli does. And I'd put Martinelli up top, and I'd have Odegaard as the 10, and I'd have Saka out on the right, and I'd have Xhaka and Lokonga with the double pivot. That for me was the obvious thing. And even if Tavares is playing really, really badly, then a solution would be maybe change it up to have like wing backs. So you have, what's it called? You have maybe Saka as a wing back, and I think Martinelli could probably, but I don't really like the idea of that because I think that's just messing around with it too much. I think this is the thing. All of these players are young players, and this is what's frustrated me. They're all young players, and they're getting loads of abuse. Or they're not being supported, and Arteta has to take responsibility for this. He's left these players out to dry a little bit. So Tavares needs to start. Really, I think he needs to start because he never plays for Arsenal again. It's as simple as that. He never plays for Arsenal again because why buy a backup left back and not play? So that would be my stick with him. Coach him because he's obviously not a mug, because the only other solution is you put Cedric at left back and then you put Ben White at right back and you bring Holden in, but that just disjoints everything again. And I don't know, it's up to Arteta. Obviously, this is why he gets paid the big wages, but that's an option as well. I don't remember Cedric being particularly great at left back, but yeah, but this is just I just feel sorry for Tavares. Obviously the manager sees things that we don't on the training pitch. But for him to say, I wanted him, well, I'm going to put my arm around him and then you don't play him. I just think it's incredibly poor man management. He's got a big decision. He's got a big game on Saturday. We have to get Europe. I think if we don't get Europe, then questions have to be asked. That was our target for this year, getting Europe.
How many years have got left? Is it a year or it's only another year? Is it? I can't remember.
They were threatening to extend it. I don't think they've extended it yet, though. I think they'll wait till the end of the year to extend it.
Yeah, I've still got faith in Arteta. I think the guy's clever. He's a bit of a disciplinarian. Perhaps a little bit too much so, I'm not sure. But, he's got his ideas, he's got his philosophy. He's got a lot going for him and he's got youth, in as much as he should learn from his mistakes. As long as he does that, Arsenal might end up with a top manager. I mean, I'm not sure he's quite a top manager at this stage, but he's...
He's still learning his craft.
As are
the players. And I think... That's why I don't want to blow this out of all proportion, because it's he's still learning. It would have been nice if he'd gone to another team to learn. It'd be nice if he'd gone to another team to learn, from his mistakes a bit more. But we're in that situation now where he's with us, you go on Twitter and some of the fucking nonsense that you read on Twitter about, and all these people that have never played football, they don't know anything about football. They're just fans. And it's ultimately, Joe, me and you as well, we are fans, right?
Yeah,
we've got some experience playing, possibly more so than a fair few at a decent level. But it's Arteta's opinion that counts. And I think, you know, some of the absolute shit that I've seen on Twitter, yeah, he needs to go, blah, blah. And Piers Morgan is fucking terrible. Like, Piers Morgan, yeah, is just highlighting his ignorance. You know, if you can't see that Arsenal have improved, and you can see, look at the stats. Arsenal have improved since Uber's left. Like, there's no denying that. Is Laka the answer? No. Right? No, absolutely not. Okay? And he needs to go. Like, if you've learned anything from this, Laka, do not give that man an extension because he can't hack it. And
apparently, there's one on the table still. Unless I'd love to see this table. You know, does the table, you know, does when they put a contract on the table, does it just stick there, stay there? You know, do they sort of nail it to the table till it gets signed? I don't know how that works. I'm guessing maybe it's not physically on the table. Yeah.
I'm actually being taken away at the speed.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, somebody slyly, like one of the cleaners, suddenly slyly took the table and the contract away. The ways, I mean, and you know, I love Laka. I think he will come good, but I don't think Arsenal can be patient anymore. He's
absolutely
not. I've lost patience with him, even me. And I love that guy to death. I think he's great on his day, but feels like a while since he had his day. You know, he's had his day in the other sense of the word. He's just, you know,
he's done. Like he's got no pace. He's got no mobility. But before he used to have some sort of predatorial instinct. He doesn't have that now. He doesn't score, does he? He doesn't score goals. And that's his primary fucking function, is to score goals. And when you stop doing your primary fucking function, you have to go, well, what is the point of you? And I think Ian Wright mentioned this a few weeks ago. He goes, Arsenal have to, you know, we have to change our style now because clubs have worked us out. Palace certainly worked us out. But there's a danger that teams will work out how we play now. And so we have to do something different. And he's absolutely right.
From my perspective, I see the tactic, the opponent's tactic is stop Saka from playing by kicking him, doing whatever you have to do.
That's a tactic. It's not, though. No, that's not it. It's stop the winger, stop Martinelli and Saka from making those runs past Lacazette. The Lacazette comes deep and he plays them. That's our main tactic. And they've worked that out. And so now he needs to think of something, you know. But, you know, some of these problems will go away when we sign a proper striker in the summer. That's for certain.
Yeah? And when there's a bit more protection for Saka, because I do worry about him. He gets whacked quite a lot, you know, playing on the right wing.
Exactly. They're never going to be protected. He's always going to get kicked. It's just the nature of English football. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but it's not the nature of English football. He'll always get kicked.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Martinelli gets targeted as much. I'm not sure why that is. I think it's because of Saka, you know, with England. He did so well with England. And then when he started this season, literally everybody knew this guy is a danger man, so they wanted to take him out. They take it in turns to kick him. It's just, why is there no protection?
Villa did when we played them. It's like cyclical fouling, wasn't it? I don't see that changing. That's just English. We talked about this for years, haven't we? About, you know, I know there's a possibility he could get injured, permanently injured, and people just go, well, that's the game. And I don't agree with it. I think more needs to be done. But it's just very sort of moronic. Actually, like Gerrard said something. He's like, oh, yeah, I had all these broken hips, blah, 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 blah. I was like a badge of honour. Like, no, there's fundamentally something wrong with the game if you think it's okay to injure people beyond the, you know what I mean? And they say they can't play
beyond
again.
Beyond the corner of duty, really, to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, the older players have terrible injuries. You know, it's true. And but, you know, here we are, 2022. So I have to remind myself sometimes. But we're supposed to be, I mean, we don't want to take all the physicality out of the game. But at the same time, players deserve a certain amount of protection. And again, I'm sort of calling a conspiracy card, thinking, why is it that players can kick the likes of Saka indiscriminately for the whole entire game and not one person gets sent off? Never happens, does it? They might, you'd be lucky if they get a yellow. Normally it's like a stern talking to. And to me, that seems to be, I know it's sort of rudimentary and basic, but I think that's I think their game plan is just take him out. That's a major part of, well, Brighton and Palace and Villa, they've had a really good go at trying to take him out. I don't think they were 100% successful, but obviously last two results indicate that maybe they were a little bit successful. Yeah, Saka I wouldn't say weren't at the races, but he wasn't at his best, was he, for those two games? But I think it's down to this systematic fouling that's going on. I'll put it down to that, because I mean he's still got you know, the afterburners. He can leave players for dead. He's still got all of that, but you know, there's been other factors too that have played a part. So so we're sort of looking ahead to Southampton then. So how would you line up given the current situation? You know, because
like Partey, I said, I think he needs to. I don't think he will do this. I think he'll try and be too clever, and I think we'll lose. But I think he needs to try and mend bridges with Tavares. Why sign a player, a young player? You know, there's going to be bumps in the road. You know, he's not going to perform well all the time. Why sign him and then not play him? And you know, it just baffles me. So that I would play, you know, Xhaka, Lokonga in the midfield. I would drop Lacazette like a fucking stone, and I'd put Martinelli up top just to try it out. Yeah, and you know, he's not exactly a small player, is he? It might work, it might not, but at least it says to Lacazette he gets a break, and it says, you know, I'm not happy with how things are going. I think. Honestly, I think the season it could peter out, and that would be a shame because of how far we've come. But you know, we'll see. That's it all depends.
I mean, if Arsenal get a decent result at Southampton, it might reinvigorate them all. One other position I want to talk about. I didn't put it on the list. So, what about goalkeeper? Because some people are saying, and I don't know what I think about this, to be honest, because I love Ramsdale. But then Leno performed out of his skin at Villa. He put in a 9 or 10 out of 10 performance. Like,
you can't drop players after one or two bad performances. Mm. And Ramsdale's kicking has been erratic. But again, and it feels like I repeat myself on this, you know, they're young. They make mistakes. You can either, you know, you have to give them a bit more time to work out if they're going to be the real deal or not. And, you know, you only find out if they're the real deal or not by putting them in real life experiences and seeing how they cope. If at the end of the season, Arteta goes, you know, Tavares isn't the one, then you sell him. You know, he had enough time with Guendouzi. He gave Guendouzi enough chances. I know you've mentioned him on our talking point. He gave enough chances. He gave Ozil enough chances. He gave Aubameyang enough chances. They fucked up. It wasn't the first time. Tavares has had two bad games. He had a bit of a stinker against Liverpool. Then he dropped him for 2 months. Then brings him back from the cold, has a stinker again, hoiks him off after 30 minutes. His confidence is shot to fucking pieces. Brings him, plays him against Palace. Then, you know, it's awful man management. What is that, you know, ruthlessness? Yeah, Ozil, Aubameyang, Guendouzi, all these players had many, many more chances. Ramsdale, yeah, his kicking has been a little bit erratic, yeah. But he's young. He makes mistakes.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that on the back of Leno's performance, I wouldn't have said that Ramsdale was the first choice. Yeah, but it was such a good performance against Villa.
He doesn't play. You can't, you know... Remember when Meninga, remember Alex Meninga, and David, right? Remember when Seaman got injured, and I think Meninga was in the quarterfinal of the cup, and he saved those pens, and he played really well for 10 games. Yes. However long Seaman was injured, right? And then what happens? As soon as Seaman came back, he took his place. Why? Because Seaman was the number one goalkeeper. Leno clearly is not the number one goalkeeper for Arteta. Not for me, for Arteta. He doesn't play the way that Arteta wants him to play. He doesn't have the kicking ability, etc., etc. So when your number one goalkeeper comes back, you play him. It doesn't matter how well he plays. Leno knows, and I'm sure he knows already, he's leaving at the end of the year, right? He doesn't want to play number two. Absolutely fine. That's his prerogative. I've got no issue with him leaving at the end of the year, right? Because he wants to be, you know, same as Martinez. I never had a problem with Martinez leaving. He wanted to play first team football. You can't deny a player that, right? Yeah, it's ambition, crack on, right? The same as Leno. But thankfully, he's professional enough to put on decent performance, and it was a very good performance against Villa, all right? But it doesn't change the fact that he's not our number one. And no, so, and I don't think as well, for Ramsdale's confidence, it does him any good. You know, Ramsdale's done nothing wrong. He got injured.
I'm not saying he's done anything wrong. All I'm saying is when you've got a player that's perhaps, I don't know how bad his injury was, but it must have been pretty bad for Ramsdale to be out, because he's the kind of guy who's, you know, he'd say, boss, I'm all right. I've broken my kneecap and an ankle, but I'll be fine. That's the sort of guy he is. So I wouldn't want to bring him straight back in when the number two goalkeeper, and I never changed my mind on that. I would be in the same sort of mindset as Arteta. I'd think, well, my number one keeper is Ramsdale, but my number two keeper performed out of his skin. We got a win. I'm not very keen to change the team when it's a winning team. That's just policy.
If Ramsdale was fit enough to play against Palace, and I'm assuming he was, you bring him back. He had 2 weeks rest, so I'm assuming he had enough time to recover from that injury. Or 3 weeks rest, because obviously he didn't play against Villa. I'm assuming he was fine to play against Palace. You don't change a winning team. Yeah, fine, but you know, why would you not play? You know, the way Arteta wants to play, he needs Ramsdale in that team.
Yeah, Leno doesn't. But the strange thing is, since he came back, well, it's always going to happen, right? When a player gets injured, it does affect their performance because they need time to get back in the groove. But he's not been the same Ramsdale since the injury. I'm not saying he's been bad. I don't think he's been bad. I mean, some of the other podcasts would say maybe, you know, should have stuck with Leno for a different reason to me. The only reason I thought is just give him a bit more time. Leno's bound to mess up at some point and then bring him back. I mean, I honestly thought, going back to what you said about Meninga, at the time, I was quite upset. Even though I thought David Seaman's a better goalkeeper, I just thought it was unfair for Meninga to get axed as soon as Seaman was fit.
Yeah, but we're not in sport's not fair, is it? We're in competitive sport. You have to pick the best. Yeah, you're not here to make friends, are you? You're here to pick the best team to win football games.
But you know that old saying, you're only as good as your last game. You know that saying.
I wouldn't drop Ramsdale just because Leno's had one good game. Like, Leno has it in him to be a good goalkeeper. I don't deny that for a second. But you can't drop someone because they have one good game. Nah, that's not how it works, is it? Like, what does that say to Ramsdale? Oh, we like you, but it's flip flop. You know, you're flip flopping, aren't you?
There's been managers in the past that have operated. I can't think of any that have done that. But, you know, there has been arguments put forward in the past, not particularly by me, but you don't change a winning team. I don't know who started that phrase.
It was a one-time thing because Ramsdale was injured. He didn't change the team. He made a replacement. Do you know what I mean? That's what it was. It was a replacement. The long-term plan of Arsenal is with Ramsdale.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
I can't subscribe to the idea that you would... Yeah, he done well, well done. That's what squad players are for. But that's what Leno is. He's a squad player. He's not a starter. You know, you have these classifications in, you know, Football Manager or whatever for a reason. He is a squad player. When he's needed, he plays. When he's not needed, he doesn't play. And he can either be happy with that or he can be unhappy with that. But the reality is still the same. He is a squad player.
How many games has a player got to play to sort of change a mindset? Or in Leno's case, because he's been at Arsenal for so long, is it already decided that he'll be a squad player? The reason I ask this is because then how do players get in a team when they're not recognised as a first teamer? Like, for instance, Smith Rowe, he came in and made himself a first teamer. But he got him because of injuries, right?
I'm not sure. I think the goalkeeper is quite a unique position, isn't it? Because it's it's such an important position, and B, there's only one of them, right? If you say an Odegaard or a 10 or an attacking player, right? Smith Rowe was coming off the bench for a while, scoring and knocking on the door. So what that does to me is that he said to Arteta. Or Arteta is thinking, as soon as Odegaard or Saka drop off in form or stop performing, I know I can rely on Smith Rowe. And then eventually that might happen that one of them gets dropped and Smith Rowe gets his chance to start. Or Saka's not feeling too great and he knows he can trust Smith Rowe to fit in. Okay. And if over a long period of time, Saka or someone doesn't perform, then Smith Rowe would get a start in place. But it has to be a fair few games. But in the Ramsdale situation, it's a goalkeeper, and I think that does make a difference. But as well, it was one game. Let's not beat ourselves up about it. It was one game. If Ramsdale was out for four, five, and again, like I said, Leno isn't part of Arteta's plans. Long term. Whereas Smith Rowe clearly is. You need a squad to win games. And you look at City, obviously, they've got enough players. And Pep rotates it because he's got enough quality that, he's got two good players in every position. Yeah, he has a preferred start in 11. But I never know if it's Mahrez going to start or if it's Sterling's going to start. I know De Bruyne's going to start. But I don't know if Jesus is going to start. Do you know what I mean? So he has that rotation. And I don't think the opposition know as well. So it's a fine balance. Yeah, fine. I'll grant you that. But I think, for one game and for goalkeeper. And like I said, he's not part of Arteta's plan, is he?
Not long term. Arteta doesn't.
No. So
it's so ironic, though, when you think about Martinez. So Martinez was allowed to leave. I mean, I'm happier with Ramsdale, obviously. But... Martinez was allowed to leave because Leno was first choice. And then next thing, Ramsdale's staged a coup.
I think it was more of a case of...
They
picked Leno because they genuinely thought that was the one. And then, or maybe out of the two of them, Leno was better. They thought Leno was the person they wanted. And then, they changed their mind, which they're entitled to do. Because if remember, Leno was there for a whole season. So Leno was number one for a whole season. Mm. And then they bought him. So they had a whole season's worth of evidence to go, actually, Leno's not the one we want. Working with him every day, trying to develop him, trying to make him do the things that they want him to do. And they went, after a year, they went, no, he's not the one. That is much more plausible. And for me, that's right. More... You know what I mean, I suspect that is the case. Not it's there's a full year between Martinez leaving and Ramsdale coming in, wasn't it?
Yeah, who was backup keeper then? When I'm trying to think. Yeah, it was a full year. That's how I remember it. Who was a backup keeper then? When Martinez left. Yeah, it's just because when Ramsdale came in, I thought he's going to be the backup keeper. But
I think most people did, to be fair. And it was quite a bold move by Arteta to play Ramsdale. Everyone was like, why are you playing him? And he did, and he's never looked back. So, sometimes these things are, turn out for the best, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, generally speaking, as you know, I'm not unhappy with Arteta. Some of the Nuno Tavares situation, I'm not particularly pleased about that. The goalkeeping situation, I'm not really that fussed about it. It's just that I thought when a guy's played out of his skin like that, part of me says, and you say sport's unfair, but, there's two reasons. One, I wouldn't really like to change a winning team, even though I didn't think the performance was that great against Villa. I still wouldn't want to change it. When a guy's played that well, I would feel maybe just let Ramsdale stay on the bench another week. That's what I would have done. Seriously. Tavares, I would have played Tavares against Brighton. That's for sure. Because I just thought, I didn't have an issue with him coming off at half time, but I just felt like you said, you know, it's where's his confidence now? You know, if he can't even get in the team as a left back when there is no other left back that's, you know, a first team left back at least, that plays that specific position, what does that say about the manager's faith in his ability? He doesn't seem to be there. So I'm fearing the worst on the way he manages that situation. But then perhaps I shouldn't, because I still have some faith in Arteta, because I think the guy's intelligent. I don't think he's a complete and utter nightmare to be, you know, as far as, I mean, it seems like some of the players have respect for him. It's just the way that
you go through peaks and troughs. And we knew we were going to hit peaks and troughs with this young squad. And now we're in a bad state of affairs because, you know, it's going to be difficult. These next few weeks are going to be difficult. And it might turn out that we don't get fourth. And then you'll have lots of people going, Arteta out. And I just don't think that's the best thing. I think how far he's taken, I think what he's trying to build. You know, you look at Man United, they are in disarray. And, you know, everyone talks about Spurs. I can't honestly see Conte staying there for too long unless they spend money. But, you know, Spurs, I don't know if you saw the Villa game against Spurs.
I was listening to it. They were all breakaway goals, weren't they?
Yeah. And again, it's the same fucking thing. Defend deep against Spurs, you have a fighting chance. I'm not saying you're going to win, but you have a fighting chance. Try and attack them, they'll beat you. And I hope Arteta doesn't make the same mistake that virtually... Yeah, but Spurs were clinical. Spurs had four shots on goal and they scored four goals. Their third highest score is his own goals, you know. And they're such a two-man team. You take away... You know, that Kulieski, I think his name is, the lad that they brought in, is decent. Like, he looks good. Pains me to say, but he looks good. But you take away Son and Kane, that team is fucking... Like, they rely on them so much. And you take away any team's main midfielder and their two fullbacks, look how they suffer. You look at Liverpool, you took away Fabinho and you took away Trent and you took away Robertson, they would struggle. Now, I'm not saying any of the three players we've lost are in that league. I'd say Partey's not a million miles off. But I'm not saying they're in that league. But I'm, you know, you take any teams, you know, they're big players. They're big players for our team, especially. And, you know, of course we're going to struggle. And, you know, the lack of squad that we have and the lack of squad rotation now is being highlighted. And Arteta needs to fix both of those things. He needs to fix the fact that he doesn't rotate the squad enough. Players are isolated. And he needs to, obviously, in the summer, he'll have an opportunity to improve the squad. And I think we'll have to buy 6-7 players again.
Yeah. Where's this money coming from? Because we've lost a lot.
Yeah, but we've shifted a lot of wages. Remember?
Yeah, that's true.
We have a set type now, don't we? Young players that are... And I don't think we'll change from that. Young players that are not a million miles away from their ceiling, but still have a bit to go. Yeah, that seems to be who we're looking to buy. We're not looking to buy seasoned vets because we've been burnt there so many times. And we're not even looking to buy 27, 28-year-olds. We're looking to buy like Tielemans or Neves or, you know, those strikers that have been in. They're all 23, 24. They're good, but they're not perfect.
Not finished product, yeah. What about Neves? 100 million Wolves want for him? They're never going to get that.
United will pay that because United funk money like there's no tomorrow. Arsenal won't pay that.
And would you sell Pepe to Newcastle for 28 million or whatever the press is saying?
Well, again, you know, clearly Arteta doesn't rate him, does he? 28 million, you should feel like we've lost a lot of money on him. I don't know. What, at the end of the season? At the end of the season, I assume. Perhaps if we get people in, this is the thing. We need to get people in. Clearly, he doesn't rate him because he hasn't played him at all, has he? But much. He had that cameo against Wolves, didn't he? Perhaps, yeah. If the 28 million seems a bit, for what we paid for him, seems a bit, yeah.
But then you've got his wages to take account for. To me, I still think I was happy to see him come on as a sub. He didn't make any dramatic difference to the game, but I just thought I like to see that guy on the pitch because he will take on players, he will take risks, as long as he's not having to track back too much. And he's not the worst at tracking back. He has improved in that aspect of his game. I've seen much worse than him. So I'm never unhappy to see him because I always think there's a goal in him. And there's no goals in the rest of the team right now. I don't know what's happened. I just think Smith Rowe's too tired. Saka's too tired. Lacazette's absolutely shattered. So where's the offensive threat when they're so tired? Where are they going to get this energy?
These are professional athletes. Saka and Smith Rowe are 20-21. They're playing one game a week. That's not an excuse.
An excuse, but they look tired. Would you admit that? Or maybe they're carrying injuries.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't put my finger on as to why they were so poor against Palace. I think Palace were better. I don't think it's Arsenal were poor. I think Palace were better. Right?
Yeah, that was more acceptable in a funny sort of way. Yeah. Even though it's actually upset me more.
And I think against Brighton, the tactics were all wrong. Yeah. And, and it's not as simple as, for me, it's not as simple as, they don't want it or they don't care. It's if the tactics don't work or the balance isn't right or something's not working, then it affects the whole. And, if you don't make, I don't think we make many in-game changes. I think it's normally done at halftime. Arteta, changes things at halftime, occasionally early with Tavares. But, I don't think it's the players don't care or anything, something like that. I think it's just they played poor, but, partly because Palace especially played well. Brighton, and like I said, it's very small margins. It's not a huge thing. We can't expect to play against teams and steamroll them in. Like the old days with Vieira, Petit, all those guys, we would absolutely batter to and it'd be a breeze. It's not like that. And it's so much more competitive, this league. And there's a reason why this is the best league in the world. Because it is so much more. Anyone can beat anyone on their day. Brentford beat Chelsea 4-1 at home.
Who would have seen that?
European champions got beat 4-1 at home. So, by Brentford. So, if you don't turn up and you don't get everything right and everyone's not pulling in the same direction and a magnitude of different variables, you're not going to get a result. And I think against Palace, they were just better. Their game plan worked. I think we got outthought. And even second half, we played better, but the damage was done in the first half. Against Brighton, the tactics were all wrong. It wasn't even our game plan was wrong. It wasn't even Brighton played that well. But when you get it wrong, you're going to lose games. And that's what we did against Brighton. I feel Arteta is more responsible for Brighton. I think, you can motivate the players, but sometimes you just don't turn up. It's like you go to work every day. You don't perform the same every day. You have good days, you have bad days. They're intangible sort of things. Mm-hmm. Against Brighton, we know what was wrong. Against Palace, they were just better on the day. They wanted it more and they were up for it more. And, they kind of had a plan and I think Vieira outthought Arteta a little bit tactically. But he'll learn from that because, he's a young manager. I certainly don't think it's the end of the world. I'm not confident due to how small our squad is and how Arteta has managed our players that are on the periphery. That's why I'm not confident going forward. It's not that I'm not confident in Arteta per se. I'm not confident in Arteta, how he's managed the squad and what squad we have left. And I completely agree that we should have got rid of all of those players because they're not going to be at the team, you know.
So even year, like Guendouzi's now playing for France, and
Guendouzi's playing in the worst league, right?
Yeah.
And again, he had lots of chances. His attitude stunk, you know. And it's just like, you know, he wasn't that great a player. Like, you know, what's that called? We have this error where we remember things better than they were. Humans have this error. I can't remember.
Nostalgia. Like, you know, I know what you're talking about. It's like rose-tinted glasses.
Well, yeah, exactly. And football fans are especially bad at this. Football fans, because, you know, you conflate the great feeling emotion. Like when we play, you know, results basically determine the performance, which is ridiculous because you can play well and lose and play bad and win, right? But Villa, me and you are disputing whether Arsenal played well against Villa, but we won, right?
Yeah.
And so, whereas, you know, we could have played, we didn't, but we could have played better against Palace than we did Villa, but because the result didn't go our way, we're all slamming it. And football fans are terrible for this. Yeah, we are as a species, we are terrible for this. So, yeah,
you know, but we've not been too bad though, Alex. I mean, I'm not trying to bang around on drum here, but we both agreed that the Liverpool game wasn't a total disaster, even though it was a defeat.
Yeah, and that's the difference between us and say Piers Morgan. If you follow, Piers Morgan's like, oh yeah, we're fucking terrible because we lost to Liverpool, an amazing that's Liverpool. The fate. I just think, you know, my concern is looking forward is, you know, the squad is small, the squad is thin. How, and normally, you know, this season they've been quite good when, you know, they've had to come back, a performance has been needed for them to come back. I think against Brighton, you know, if you think back when we had a bad result, next game we've had a good result, you know, and they've done that a few times. I think against Brighton, I think Arteta fucked it. So players might have performed well, and if, you know, if we'd got that goal at half time, we might have gone on with the changes. But I think, you know, Arteta's tactical decisions ruined it. It was a shocking decision to play Xhaka at left back. We all knew last year it didn't work. So it's kind of like, you know, the whole definition of insanity sort of thing. You know what I mean? And that was for me the more disappointing thing. So I'm not entirely confident going forward because we've got some tough games coming up. Southampton's not easy. Then we've got Chelsea away. Then I think we've got United at home. And then we've got West Ham. You know, Spurs at some point as well. Yeah. Spurs I can see us getting dicked because they're in good form and, you know, we're not. I'm not confident. Like, but, and I'm also not confident due to the size of our squad and, you know, everything that's gone on. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Like, it can change in a heartbeat. If we get a good result against Southampton, good performance. You know, Tavares has a good game, things change.
Yeah, really. It's all about... I nearly said it's all about Tavares. It shouldn't really be, should it? But it feels like that decision was the one that cost, out of all the decisions that cost Arsenal, playing Xhaka. I don't think Xhaka's that terrible at left back. He's just that he gets targeted because of his lack of pace. I don't think he's that bad. But the problem is you lose him in midfield. And I'm not his greatest fan, but even I can see that he adds a certain amount of solidity to the midfield because he's got pretty good positional sense. I'm not going to stop praising him, but he's got pretty good positional sense. And he makes that feel stable, that area. And it was unstable against Brighton. It was just a massive thing. It was a sieve. They were just running through all the holes.
But especially when you don't have
contact. Actually, it was just a massive gap. I don't want to even speculate.
No,
I don't
know where he was. It's not Lokonga's fault. One of your star midfielders gets injured. So the last thing you do is get rid of your other midfielder and put him at left back. It's not exactly. even the fact that he's a bad left back. And I don't think he's a great left back, but I think he's competent. But it's the fact that Partey had played, you would go, okay, fine, I'm not happy about this. And it's still bad man management, by the way. But we've got Partey in midfield. And Partey and the Conga will do a job, right? And they'll be fine. It's the fact that we didn't have a midfield because Partey got injured and then he takes Xhaka out. That's where we lost it. We were awful. And like you say, those holes, it was like a sieve because Partey was on his own. Lukonga was on his own.
Yeah,
and he had to play X amount of games. He played all right against Palace when he came on. But, you know, I felt he looked a little bit reserved and I think he played within himself a little bit because he's probably fucking petrified about losing his position because he saw what happened to Tavares. So, you know, that's what worries me. And so, you know, it's a massive game. I think this game will define our season, if our season hasn't already been defined.
Yeah.
Because if it's this, we're going to struggle to get results against the bigger teams. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, I know I said, yeah, I can see us beating West Ham and all of these teams. Maybe not Chelsea, but everyone else. I don't see us beating any of them. You know, if he plays like, if he does tactical fucking nightmares like that, I'm not confident at all.
Yeah, I can't see. I'd like to be optimistic about looking ahead. I think the Southampton game has just suddenly become a very high pressured match. And as long as, like you said, if it's down to tactics, maybe we'll find out if he puts tactics in place that makes sense to the players primarily. You know, they don't really have to make sense to the fans as long as the players get behind it. But there was just, you know, as I said, the only issue I've got, okay, with the Brighton game, we can put it down to Arteta and his tactical errors. The Palace game, maybe they just wanted it more, even though I think Arsenal tried their best, but it just wasn't quite good enough for whatever reason. So, yeah, it's a hard one to... The Brighton game was very upsetting, but in a different way. I just felt, you know, and had the game gone on a bit longer, maybe Arsenal would have got an equaliser if they'd had a bit more time. But they just left it too late, as per usual. It's like one of the commentators was saying, why didn't they play like this at the start? They've left it to 5 minutes until the end to start pressurising Brighton. Why leave it till the 85th minute? And I'm not really sure. Maybe Brighton started tiring. That was the reason. And they weren't closing down as much. So anyway, I think we've covered everything, haven't we? Is there anything that we didn't?
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Okay, right. We'll say goodbye to everybody who's listening, if there is anybody. Might even play the music. Oh, yeah, here we go. Right, so that's it for now. That was a very, very long podcast, but that's what happens when we've got lots of negatives to talk about. But anyway, let's hope for any sort of win against Southampton. I'm sure we'd both take that. Until the next time, adios.